What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Friday, February 16th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host.
It's a frantic morning here.
It is frantic.
We're trying to get ready for a bunch of party modes this afternoon. Of course, you can get party mode early on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames or get it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. You came in and didn't bring an Xbox. So you had to run home and get another Xbox.
Yes.
That's what happened?
Mission accomplished, though.
Okay, good. Your Xbox One's here. It's cooking over there.
Everything's all good. Okay. I saved the day.
You saved the day, huh?
That's exactly how I would
phrase it. Seems like you made the mistake, and then you fixed the mistake. So, I mean, like...
Yeah, but then I was the one that had the Master Chief Collection so that we can copy it over to a bunch of different systems without having to download it. So...
How do you copy it over? What is that? How does that work?
Plug a hard drive in, copy, paste.
Boom. Oh, but we all have licenses.
And you have the codes. Yeah, you put the codes in and it unlocks it.
All right, cool. Because we have the codes for the game, of course.
I saved the day.
I'll give you that one. You saved the day, though. Yeah. I'll give you that one, all right. Yeah.
Kevin likes to talk a lot of shit, but you know what?
Here's what I know about Kevin.
Saying.
When we're in here now doing the shit, what's the old saying?
Talk shit, get shot.
Oh, that is the shot is one saying. Over there, Cool Greg's doing all the work. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Kevin's up to anymore. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday on a variety of platforms. We run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Kindoffunny.com/KFGD with your questions, comments, concerns, discussion points, bad PSN names, and anything else under the video game sun you want to talk about. You can watch the show live as we record it on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, but remember, we're not looking at the chat. If you want to be part of the show, you have a special job watching live. It's to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight at the end. And let everybody know later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe what the whole story was. Housekeeping for you. Right now, the PlayStation VR show and the Kind of Funny Games cast with Easy Allies, Michael Huber, are up on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can get your early access there for just a couple of bucks. If you like what we do with Kind of Funny Games Daily, maybe you pull the car over, support us on Patreon in a safe way. Don't do that. Monday, we're also introducing a new Kind of Funny Games Daily show host and a new permanent third chair on the Kind of Funny Games cast. We have not revealed who it is. Be here.
My money's on Shaq.
Shaq.
Mm-hmm.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Did you see the silhouette?
That's a good one, I guess. Yeah, that's possible.
Hey, that is very possible. Shout out to that Uncle Drew movie, though.
Oh, God.
Who knew that? Did you know that was a thing, Cool Greg?
We went and saw Black Panther last night, and there was a movie trailer for Uncle Drew, and it's just old basketball players like Reggie Miller and Shaq and all these
dressing up even older. Do you remember the Uncle Drew commercials?
No.
With Kyrie?
Those were
fucking awesome.
I don't even know who Kyrie is.
Now they're making a whole movie. Kyrie Irving? He's a basketball player.
Okay.
Come on, Greg.
Who's he play for? All right, great. And remember that today, Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Bombfell, but I'll talk about that later.
Okay,
Celtics, we're getting around there. Call Jeff Ramsey. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Three items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Thank you, Cool Greg. Number one, I hate it when this happens, when the news breaks during in a later part, way late part of the show. So we're going to pick up with one we had yesterday, just a little bit more context to it. But if you listened all the way through yesterday, thank you. But I know some people tune out after we get to read our mail, so you may have missed it. Hangar 13, the developer behind Mafia, has laid off people, according to Kotaku. 2K can confirm that there have been staff reductions at Hangar 13 in order to ensure that the studio's resources are properly aligned with its long-term development plans, a company spokesperson said in an email. These reductions will not influence 2K's ability to create and deliver its products that are currently in development. We never take these matters lightly and are working with the affected employees to support them and explore potential opportunities throughout our organization. The publisher would not specify how many people had been laid off, although we've heard it was a large portion of the Hangar 13 staff. The studio, based in Novato, California, has spent the past year prototyping as it has tried to figure out its next project, according to one person familiar with the company. One potential idea, which the person said Hangar 13 recently discarded, involved a third-person action game with a fight-to-music system where your moves could create would create songs, not unlike the canceled Harmonix game, Chroma. So again, that all came out yesterday. Mafia 3 developers suffering layoffs at the end there. We didn't know how severe it is. Still don't, even though I missed yesterday in Jason Schreier's report here that apparently it was a large proportion. Nor do we know what they might have been working on and stuff like that.
I just checked that one of my friends still there, so that's okay.
Okay, good. That was fast. You texted him back and forth that quick.
I just looked at his Twitter. I imagine he would have said something. So maybe not.
Maybe not.
You know, assumptions. You know what they say.
They make an ass out of you and Gia.
Yep, that's what they. That's what they say. Yeah. Obviously, sad news.
Of course.
Hopefully, these people all land on their feet. I appreciate 2K saying that we're working with the people affected and trying to find them opportunities. I think that's cool. Who knows what that actually means?
How much lip service that is to the press?
Is it actual real? The fact that they're saying it, I feel like you can't get away with saying that type of stuff in the social media age, because those people would immediately be like,
fuck you.
They ain't doing fucking shit.
That's something that's going around a lot, I feel like, when a big corporation has to lay off developers that, I think, correct me if, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. I want to say it was the EA Visceral thing where they set up like a whole thing of like, hey, down here are the resources and other people who are hiring. And then, of course, it gets spread around, which brings us to Caleb's question.
Well, before you say that, a quick thing. What Gia does is work at a company that analyzes people's benefits. So not just health benefits, but a company's benefits and what they give to different services, all the way from like small companies all the way up to Target and Walmart. And like one of the VPs of her company used to be a VP at Walmart. And what they do is kind of understand the trends in benefits and what different companies are offering and how to stay competitive in that landscape, and to not just give the bare minimum of like, here's what you need to do to keep employees happy, but to create a good workplace and to create a healthy work environment. And something that a trend that's been starting that she was telling me about is exactly this, that a kind of protection of if layoffs happen, because layoffs are a thing that occur, that there is teams dedicated, and it's part of the HR person's job to spend time helping these people in a real way to get on their feet and find other opportunities.
Why has Gia not given us a free appraisal of Kinda Funny?
Because that's not what she does, but it's what a company
she can't hook
does.
Us up with something? A voucher code?
No, man.
Caleb writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hi, Greg and Tim. With the number of recent layoffs occurring within the games industry, most recently at Hangar 13, I've begun to notice a larger sense of camaraderie among game developers. Companies using Twitter to let people know they're hiring, devs and industry influencers retweeting such tweets, etc. I was wondering if you guys know if the games development community has also always been this close-knit, or is it a more recent trend? In my experience, Caleb, I would say it's always been this close-knit, but in the age we live in with social media and devs actually having a public profile, it's way more visible this time around.
And I think that going off of that, all it takes is for a dev to see one other dev doing that to be like, oh,
that's a cool thing.
That's a cool thing I want to do. Yeah. And I feel like that spreads it a lot, where I do feel like behind the scenes, as long as I've been in the industry, I've seen a lot of this, but it's usually texting. It's usually phone calls. It's usually, hey, I got you. You know, we'll go through this. But this is, I've definitely seen in the last year and a half, it go from, oh, that's a cool thing I saw once, to now every time the situation happens, which is often, seeing a lot of different people I know either putting out the tweets or retweeting or adding people, hey, you guys should connect. Like, for whatever reason.
Yeah, I think the tools we have now just make it easier. I think part of it would be the indie revolution too, in the way that there are so many, when App Store hit and then digital downloads started, the fact that so many people broke away to start little or smaller studios, very tiny studios, that then have grown into bigger things, it's made communication more open. In the same way, I feel when we broke away from Kinda Funny, it kind of took the reins off of us to be able to talk about whatever we want and talk about the business and not worry about these certain things, which you now see reflected at places like IGN. In the same, you know, here where you'd see, maybe it wouldn't be so surprising a few years ago when there's layoffs, a smaller developer like Double Fine to say something, but you also see Insomniac say stuff now, or Sony Santa Monica say things like that. I think it's just the age we live in, and it's pretty awesome to see, and it's great. But I think developers understand development, and they understand layoffs, and they understand that these people are getting laid off because they're bad at their job. They're getting laid off because the company, you know, ebb and flow, where are you at with this project and that. And I think most of us understand that as well. So that's part of it. Number two, I have an update to yesterday's PUBG cheater cheater pumpkin eater story.
Oh no.
This is via,
they're eating pumpkins, not chicken.
This is by way of IGN. I'm reading IGN's article where they summarize. PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds problems with cheaters has been a major issue for the game, and recent data from the company's anti-cheat tech provider, BattleEye, indicates that 99% of the accounts that have been banned for cheating are from China. UXC, story reports the statistic, adding that 46% of PUBG's total players are based in China. It makes the problem a significant one in PUBG's most important territory. We talked about this real quickly yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. And that the fact that the... Stick with me. We talked about how it, you know, crossed 300 million mark, right? No, 300,000 mark. What is it?
It must be million.
Hold on. I got it back here because I'm leading to a segment.
In PUBG?
Yeah. What's the sales goal they just hit?
I mean, it must be million. 300,000 is nothing.
Well, no, okay. Yes. 3 million, though, is the thing, right? Whatever. They sold a whole bunch of copies, but now concurrents were going down on PC. And the guy was alluding to it going down on PC because of cheating.
Mm.
Over here in a brand new segment called PUBG PC Mr. Meesey, the hands writes in and says, good morning, all of Kind of Funny. This is not a question but a response about the news that PUBG on PC is losing players. I am an avid PUBG player clocking in at 473 hours played on Steam and around 100 hours played on Xbox. Cheating was a gigantic problem on the PC version, especially in third person. With the addition of the death cam and the replays, you could go back and watch people get 30 kills without ever actually seeing anyone on screen. PUBG Corp, however, has combated this quite well in the past few updates, and instead of running into cheaters 9 out of 10 games, it's more like 2 out of 10. The PC version, however, still has one major problem. Angry Greg voice, please. The new map is fucking garbage. There is no way to choose which match I want to make for, and the chances of rolling the original map are so low that you could play for a whole night and never get to play on it. I feel like he'd be saying, oh no, he hates the new map. I see. No more Angry Greg voice. To sum it up, the Xbox version has no cheating, no new map, and no aim assist, making, in my opinion, the definitive version.
Mm.
Yesterday we talked about, you know, these PC player concurrents dropping right now. Mm. They're going back towards like 250.
Only.
I know, right? And that was the thing of, we were having a conversation, Huber and I, of like, well, is it because of Xbox peeling people off? There was an industry analyst who was saying because of the cheating, that's why he thinks it's down. It's interesting another take that, yeah, it's more the fact that this guy does not like the map. The cheating is a problem, even though it's been fixed in a lot of different ways, and the fact that there's no aim assist. Interesting.
I don't have the data to back this up.
Yeah.
Something tells me the cheating isn't the thing.
Yeah.
I think that doesn't affect that large of amount of people. Like, if you notice that and you know what's going on, that's probably a marginal part of the community that is really in tune with the game. And what sucks is they're the ones that are most affected. So that's unfortunate. But I imagine it's a mix of all the things with the Xbox.
You just can't maintain that.
Yeah.
You can't hit all these fucking people playing at once and expect it to always be that way.
Always it's be going rising. To come down. It's going to at some point. Yeah.
And it's going to peak in value. They'll add new maps that people don't hate, apparently, and it'll go up and do this thing. Or, you know.
I'm interested in that map business. Like, let us know for Monday's show. Do you like the new map? Is he alone in this assessment?
Sure.
I don't know. I haven't heard either.
I play on Xbox. I only got one map. It's great.
Hell yeah.
Thanks, Kevin.
Hell yeah.
Number 3 on the Roper Report. Persona is getting an app. It's called Persona OA app, and this is going to be from Silicon Era. Persona OA is the series' official support app that will provide fans with the latest news and even let you enjoy conversation events with characters through an exploration game in the app. The app offers many ways to acquire Persona points, which can be used to summon Persona in the exploration game, download web contents, or sign up for presents and events. There's currently an early registration campaign that fans can participate in by following the Persona 5 The Animation Twitter account, as well as line or email registration on the official website. 10,000 registrations will get everyone 500 Persona points to use in the app. 50,000 registrations will get 1,000 Persona points, plus 20 lucky winners will get posters from the anime. 100,000 registrants will get 1,500 Persona points, and 55 lucky winners will get a special illustration signed by the creator.
Cool.
Yeah.
Does this tickle your
Not at all.
Pickle?
I'm never going to. I don't know. I'm not going to. I don't know if Joey's in so deep now that this will be it. I don't know if Gary Witt is in so deep that they'll care about this, but it's just a shout out because I know we got a bunch of Persona fans out there, and I appreciate that. Tim.
Yes.
It's Friday. It's a slow news day.
Yeah, I wanted some juice. Greg.
You got good questions coming
up. Good.
You got good questions, but that's what I got. But the questions are still so far away. Mm. If I wanted to know what came to the mom and grop digital shops today, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah.
I really appreciated Huber's enthusiasm when he read that yesterday.
Oh, he's great. He's great.
I liked that.
We got to figure out how to get him up here more. Out today. You got Monster Hunter. I think it popped last night, but I'm putting it here because we didn't talk about the show. Monster Hunter's Ryu DLC is available. PlayStation 4 players who have saved data from Street Fighter V Arcade Edition on their consoles can now accept the first Street Fighter V event quest, which is called Down the Dark Muddy Path. It's a 3-star mission that requires a hunter rank of 3 or higher, and all it requires you to do is slay a Baroth.
Oh, that's easy.
It is. It's pretty easy. Once the mission is complete, you'll be rewarded with items to craft the Ryu armor set. Am I saying it right?
Ryu.
Ryu armor set, which will turn your hunter into the iconic Street Fighter character when equipped. And then they say, look at the armor here. I think I got that from IGN, but it's just the basics. Maybe I got it from GameSpot. Go get it. I don't want to look like Ryu. I want to look like my character. That's what I'm saying. You understand?
I understand exactly what you're saying.
So I like this. Am I going to get it? Oh, yeah. I'm going to get all this exclusive stuff. Miss the Watcher. From Horizon, never again.
Never again.
I'm up. I'm hunter rank 11 now. I'm ready for this shit.
Good.
Bring it on.
I appreciate that.
Bayonetta's out on Switch. Bayonetta 2's out on Switch.
All right, let's stop there. Greg, a couple days ago,
sure,
we were having a conversation, and I brought Bayonetta, and how excited I am about it.
Yeah.
I've been playing it on Switch. I've been absolutely loving it.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that.
And you scoffed at it. I was like, Greg, you going to give it a shot? You're like, no. And I took assault to that. All right.
You took assault to it.
It assaulted my feelings.
Oh, wow, okay.
And I was like, fuck you, Greg.
That was my thought.
Fuck you, Greg.
Yeah.
But then I realized, like, I do that all the time. I do that 99%.
You won't even touch Monster Hunter.
You play Monster Hunter? No.
Yeah.
So I shrug things out the same way. I thought about it. I was thinking a lot about this. I was like, is Bayonetta a game for Greg Miller? And I know the answer is not yes. I don't want to say it's no, though.
Yeah.
I feel like it's somewhere in the middle where it's, you always talk about if you're in the right mood.
Sure.
For these games.
Sure.
I feel like there is a mood for Greg Miller to like Bayonetta.
Okay.
The advice I'll give, go just straight to Bayonetta 2.
Okay.
Bayonetta 1 takes a little too long to get into the swing of things, I think.
Okay.
It's still fun and wacky, but I think Bayonetta 2 is a little bit quicker and it's a little more polished of a game. GameSpot, 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. Okay.
It's a little high, I think.
Sure.
But not too high. These are fantastic games. And if you haven't played them before, this is a great way to play them. And gearing up for 3 is awesome.
My thing about it is it's just it sounds weird. It's an action game, right? Playing like a
stylish
Beautiful Joe or I'm playing a DMC.
Well, Beautiful, those are very different. But
yeah, a DMC. You're right. You know what I mean?
It's a DMC. Okay. DMC and Bayonetta would make sweet, sweet babies together.
I'm sure they would.
It would be awesome.
Yeah. A lot of fanfic out there that made sure they did that. Yeah.
Yes. But no, it is in the style of a Devil May Cry.
Because I like
the top bosses.
I like her.
Hordes of enemies coming. And the point is cool, stylish action with her having a bunch of one-liners. And it's an anime. The crazy anime stuff, not the bad anime stuff.
Okay.
And I think that it's all right. I know a lot of people don't like Metal Gear Solid Twin Snakes.
Monsters. Because, they're monsters.
Because it turns Snake into this acrobatic fucking flippity dippity bullet time, whatever, right? Yeah. Did you like that?
I loved it. Well, I mean, I like that interpretation.
I thought you would. I thought you would.
Yeah.
And if you loved that, this game is just that with a demon witch that uses
her hairs, her clothes.
Well, her clothes are her weapons and her hair, and it's a crazy fucking thing. And she has guns on her feet. It's fucking cool.
Yeah. I remember Clements liked it a lot, I think. Bayonetta 1.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've seen it and I've known it. And I like her as a character from what I see when she'll pop up in
Super Smash Bros.
Yeah, I was going to say Smash, right? But that's, when I started to form that sentence, it sounded wrong.
It is really weird that Bayonetta is in Smash Brothers, but it's awesome.
Yeah.
These games are really, really, really good.
But there's just so many monsters to hunt.
That is true.
And then when I'm on the road, there's so many strawberries to find.
Oh, okay.
There's so many
owl boys
to help.
I'm not going to tell you not to play Celeste. But the thing is, this is a game. Download it when you're on flights.
Just wait.
Whenever the time comes, pop it in.
Okay.
I think you'll enjoy it.
All right. I respect your opinions. FE comes to Xbox One, PlayStation 4, or PC. Claybook comes to Xbox One. And Joe Devers, Lone Wolf, comes to Switch.
Ooh.
Thank you. Thank you very much. New dates for you. Rick and Morty VR is coming out on April 10th. That's coming to PlayStation VR. I assume everything else, maybe. I don't know. But for sure, it was on the PlayStation blog, so PlayStation VR. Then, strap in. Senran Kagura Peach Beach Splash comes
Peach
to PCs
Beach Splash.
March 7th, 2018. And then Mantis Burn Racing goes free on Steam.
Trademark.
Yeah, I know. I just copied the headline of the email. So anyways, that's actually a deal of the day. So hold on. I'm going to go deal of the day.
Deal of the day.
Thank you. I like that. Mantis Burn Racing is free on Steam from February 22nd to the 25th alongside PC Esports Championship. So there you go. Got that going on. That's cool. From Rockstar, starting today, GTA Online players can ring in tax season in style with a massive bonus. Access to GTA $250,000 in game money for simply logging into GTA Online at any point from today, February 16th until February 26th. In addition, all GTA money spent in GTA Online between today and the 26th will also get a 10% rebate on every dollar with up to $1 million in GTA money cashback. Bonuses and cash rebates will be awarded starting on February 27th and will arrive in players' Maze bank accounts between February 27th and March 6th. So there you go. That's going on.
There you go.
And then also there is a PSN flash sale right now until the 19th. Then Brandon, parentheses, Killzax, wrote in with a missed deal of the day. He says, for the last few days, Dead Space has been free on EA Origin. As of 10:27 p.m. on the 15th, it was still available for free. So if you want to go get that and you use EA Origin, which is a nightmare, go ahead and do it. Because there's too many things.
So good.
Dead Space is great. Dead Space 2, better.
Dead Space? Is that a real opinion?
That's a real Greg Miller opinion. I love Dead Space 2. I love Dead Space. I love Dead Space, and I love Dead Space 2. I just had more fun with Dead Space 2 because I felt I liked them ramping it up to be a little more actiony. It's by far less survival horror.
Yeah. No, that's. I don't think I've ever met anybody that thinks 2 is better than 1. I enjoyed 2 as well, and I think it gets a lot of hate.
Yeah.
I think people overly hate it because I agree with you that the action is fun, even though it's a different genre. It's still a really good game. But yeah, Dead Space 1.
Dead Space 1
is a game that I would love for them to port to Switch because I would love to replay that at my leisure.
Honestly, and I know it'll never happen, I would just love a Dead Space collection on everything. Mm. But again, EA's whole reason for stopping Dead Space because it wasn't selling enough because they had outrageous sales expectations for it. But whatever. And I wouldn't play Dead Space 3 again, so there you go. So,
I never played 3.
Nope. Started it up and I was like, it's like Resident Evil, right? How they just, not 7, where they started sliding in the wrong direction. 5. Where it's like, 2 is that, where like, oh man, some people like it, some people love it, or some people love it, some people hate it. And then 3 was like, what the fuck is this? This is not Dead Space at all. Time for reader mail, but first I'm going to tell you it's brought to you by Bombfell. You might have noticed I've been looking better and better on this show, and part of that's thanks to Bombfell. Bombfell is an online personal styling service for men that helps find the right clothes for you. Once you sign up online and complete a simple questionnaire, you are matched one-on-one with a dedicated personal stylist who handpicks every piece. Your stylist will email you a preview of their selections, after which you'll have 48 hours to make any changes or even cancel altogether. You're in total control. Afterwards, Bombfell will ship you the selected clothes and you'll have 7 days to decide and only pay for what you want to keep. Send the rest back with free shipping both ways. You can receive clothes every 1, 2, or 3 months and you can pause or cancel at any time. Clothing is shipped straight to your door. No need to spend hours shopping at the store, which is what I hate. I've talked about this before. Same reason I don't get haircuts. And now with every shipment, the more you keep, the more you save. Keep 2 items, get 10% off. 3 items, 15% off. 4 or more items, 20% off. I really use this service. You've seen the shirts this week already. It's super simple. You go in there. Stylist asks what you want. What do you like? What would you wear? What wouldn't you wear? Send it in. They send you stuff. You try it on. You don't like it, send it back. You want to keep it, keep it. It's great. There's a special, and Gary Wood apparently is going to try doing it now. Because you liked how I looked the other day. We have a special offer just for listeners of this show. For $25 off your first purchase, go to bombfell.com/kindoffunny. That's Bombfell. B-O-M-B-F-E-L-L. .com/kindoffunny. That's bombfell.com/kindoffunny for $25 off your first purchase. Thanks, Bombfell, for supporting KFGD. First question of the day is an old one, I would say. Justin, aka Old Man Hooch, writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, what's good, KFGD crew? This morning I was listening to NPR's morning show and heard Representative Brian Mast talking about the horror that has befallen Parkland, Florida. When asked about what could be done to prevent these types of tragedies, Mast specifically blamed Hollywood and video games, directly citing John Wick and Call of Duty, which frankly I found revolting. I thought we were past this gaming creates killer stereotype and wanted to know any kind of feedback you guys have on the issue. Love you guys and gals and all you do, Justin. Well, Justin, it's the same feedback as always. People in tragedies want to have a simple solution for what's wrong and point to one thing to be the devil that caused all of this thing. And it's a complex issue. Tragedies like this, school shootings, gun control, everything else happening in the United States. And I think video games and Hollywood are an easy scapegoat. I, of course, don't believe in that for a second. I do believe that. I think there's some merit to the fact that
absolutely,
we're gonna, if we can sit here and talk about games that touched you and made you cry and made you feel, what does it do on the other side of the scale?
I mean, honest real question on that side is, how many guns can you name, Greg? How many guns can you name because of video games that you would have never known about otherwise?
Sure.
Like, yeah, there's definitely real life cause and effects that come from violence in video games or movies or whatever. This isn't the cause of it. It's a cause. It is a factor. But so is every single experience you have in your life. Every commercial you see for any product, anything, every single thing goes into this. Education, mental health, mental health education, all of it goes into it. And it's a very, very complicated subject. And yeah, this guy, like, putting the blame on it, it is the scapegoat. It is just an easy thing to kind of distract from the real conversation, I think.
That's the biggest thing of I would urge everyone not to get into. That we don't need, as an industry, we don't need to sit here and fight this person and argue with this person and have headlines about this person. The issue here is mental health. The issue here is gun control. The issue here is the NRA and their influence in the American government. And I'm not trying to get on a soapbox here, but the fact of the matter is, this is subterfuge. And it's usually, they're shot, like in every Iron Man movie you've watched, this is them popping the flares so the missiles chase those rather than chase the real issue. So I don't think you have to give it a moment of your time. We are past that. As I've said before a million times, what will inevitably happen is, just like when Twisted Sister had to come testify before Congress about freedom of speech and music, everyone who grew up on this stuff in video games will be in a position of power, and you will no longer have people in positions of power who do not understand video games, or, God willing, one day you have people in the positions of power who don't want to just distract from the real issue and cause a whole bunch of shit. Dr. Ninja _ wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "Hi, Greg and Tim. I'm listening to the new GOG while I'm at work and thinking about the Venom movie. Very curious but cautious. But since there still seems to be some confusion about if Venom is linked to the MCU or not, I could be talking out my ass, but I seem to remember hearing somewhere that Sony is saying yes, it's connected to MCU, and Marvel is saying it isn't." That is correct. That was something that happened. "Yesterday's Games Daily. You talked about how Sony and Marvel would not drop the new Spider-Man game without plenty of notice. There was this guy hypothesizing, would they be crazy enough to Beyonce yet and just be like, Spider-Man's out tomorrow or today?"
Oh, no way.
Exactly what we said. "But is Sony crazy enough to link Venom to the Spider-Man game? In the game, introduce the symbiote and Eddie Brock, voiced by Tom Hardy, and will that lead into Venom? Perhaps Spider-Man will be released late summer, early fall, just before Venom. Anyway, crazy thought, and probably won't happen. But with the fans wanting the Venom movie to be the same group of people who was playing Spider-Man, I say 99% chance I'm wrong, and Sony wouldn't do this, but what if? Keep up the great work. Love the show." No way in hell. Not a chance in fucking hell, but I do like that idea in a lot of ways. That would be a cool tie-in in terms of thinking about... so many people take an IP and they want it to be this thing that spans books and movies and these digital comics and these things, cartoons, and have it all looped in and have like a Star Wars universe. Mm-hmm. This isn't going to happen. I don't think this would be the right fit for it. I can list a million other things about it and how confusing that would be. But in a different world, in the same way, like we were talking on the morning show today, me and Nick, about how, like, I remember when the MCU started, and you're just like, there's no way they're going to be able to pull this off. I would love to see talented developers and studios actually figure out a way to do that and make it work where, yeah, a video game does introduce, or the movie does introduce somebody that you pull into a video game.
Yeah.
Not happening. Right now, based on everything you've ever seen from somebody trying to do something like that, it's garbage, right?
Yep. And I think the bigger thing here is, like, specifically with Venom, like, I can imagine that Insomniac would want to distance itself from Venom as much as possible, just because there's definitely an audience for Venom, and that movie has a total chance of being good, being great even.
Yeah.
But it's not a guarantee. And with Spider-Man, you have a guarantee, so why not, There's no reason to risk things.
So many people, as we sit around here and, you know, just constantly, constantly beg Insomniac, who is at PlayStation right now, 30 minutes from here, talking to them right now, beg them for a release date on this game because we all want to play it. The smartest thing they can do is do exactly what Batman Arkham Asylum did and not release around a movie, distance themselves from Infinity War and Venom. So you figure somewhere in that middle section of the year, right, give 2 months on each side to be like, we are our own thing. We are not connected to any of these things. We are not a licensed product. We are telling our own story, and get people in that way.
Yep.
Because anytime you try to tie, I'm so happy for the most part we're past licensing tie-in video games to movies that are just awful. Play through the story or get us. Oh, no, we're not going to play through the story. We're going to play something different, a side story to the movie, and it's garbage. It's just like, I don't want that.
Even when it's good, there's a lot of times it's just kind of okay compared to what the real games would be. Prince of Persia comes to mind for me, where they did Forgotten Sands, which was a great game, but it wasn't nearly as good as the other ones. Sure. It wasn't like a licensing disaster.
Right, right, right. But it just wasn't on par with what it should
be. Yeah.
I want a new Prince of Persia.
God, me and Huber were talking about that yesterday. No. I want one bad, Greg.
Justin writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, super quick question. Are we going to see gameplay and a release date for Cyberpunk 2077 at E3? We know CD Projekt Red is attending the show. 2017 being, quote, the year of Gwent for the studio, paired with the game's recent Twitter reawakening, beep, points to a release soon. Do you think Cyberpunk will be the Fallout 4 of E3 2018, or will we be given a vague 2019 release date? Personally, I'm fine with the latter, as long as they show us something substantial this year to hold me over, because we don't know shit about this game, and I'm dying. There's a lot of talk about which games have the power to release close to Red Dead 2 this fall. Cyberpunk 2077 is one of those games for sure. Justin. Tim, what are we going to get from Cyberpunk?
My prediction for Cyberpunk is a trailer that does not have any type of release date on it.
Yeah, not even a year or anything?
Not even a year.
Yeah.
It's just going to end.
So you think that's at like a Microsoft or a PlayStation conference?
Mm-hmm.
E3?
Mm-hmm.
That would be my prediction as well, too. I don't think they're...
Microsoft.
You think Microsoft? That'd be a big coup for them.
I think it's going to be Microsoft. I think it's going to... They'll play the trailer. Gameplay, I don't know.
I think it'll be gameplay in the trailer, but it'll be that kind of gameplay of like there's a pan as somebody's shooting or hacking or whatever. Yeah, it won't be like, hey, here's the HUD and what we're doing.
Exactly. Right, it'll be a mix, and it'll be in-game stuff, but not gameplay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's...
And then it'll end, and then... Yeah, we probably won't see this game for a while, but I don't know. I mean, you know, they got the Witcher 3 DLC out pretty quickly with stuff, but the Witcher 3 took a long time.
Exactly.
We heard about that for a long time.
Right.
So
I would say, you get a trailer at E3. I wouldn't be surprised if they, in some interview somewhere, dropped that they're shooting for 2019, but I don't think you'll get it till 2020, best case scenario. That'd be my guess for it. Just because I know how big they want to make this game. I know how long The Witcher took and all these different things. I do want to call out a line you put in here, Justin. There's a lot of talk about which games have the power to release close to Red Dead 2 this fall. Cyberpunk 2077 is one of those games for sure. I wholeheartedly disagree.
Me too.
Don't get me wrong. CD Projekt Red, amazing. Amazing developer. I'm sure this game's going to be awesome. The Witcher 3 was such a juggernaut success for a lot of reasons, but one of the big reasons was the fact that it was Witcher 3. You would it's what I talk about with Persona all the time, where you would have a hardcore, ardent fan base for two games being like, The Witcher is awesome, The Witcher is awesome, The Witcher is awesome, and then Witcher 3 was talked about for years and years and years, and then they started releasing this footage, and you're all like, holy shit. This game looks insane. This game looks amazing. It keeps going, blah, 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 blah. And so Witcher 3 was the coming out party for that series for so many people. So many people didn't play Witcher 1 and 2. That's why, on top of the fact that it was amazing, CD Projekt Red gave away free DLC, CD Projekt Red had all the right messaging, all those things. They are, for all intents and purposes, starting over. Where, hey, we're doing Cyberpunk 2077, which now... The audience, the core audience who's like, man, I love CD Projekt Red is way bigger. Mm-hmm. But still, there's a lot of people who played The Witcher 3 and have no fucking idea about Cyberpunk 2077.
I think that I agree with most of what you're saying. I think that this is their Last of Us, though. And I think that this that now that people know Naughty Dog, or yeah. they knew Naughty Dog, and then they're like, I'm in on Last of Us. It's this new thing, sure. but I'm in. All it took is for them to realize the guys that did Uncharted are doing this. And I feel like more trailers, more information about Cyberpunk, they're going to make it extremely clear it's Witcher. The people that made Witcher 3 are making this.
Sure.
And I think that then it would give it the juice that it needs. I just think there's only one thing that can compete with Red Dead too, and that would be GTA 6.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I mean, Rockstar's just in a league of their own, because when you're talking about competing, you're not talking about reviews. You're talking about sales.
Yeah.
And
who can release around then and do it? And I think that for a lot of people, they, I mean, overwhelmingly, the majority of people would choose Red Dead Redemption 2 over jumping mm-hmm. into Cyberpunk right away. And I think that's based on setting. It's based on what they know. It's based on Rockstar. It's based on it's a sequel. It's all these different things of like you know what to expect from Red Dead, and I can't fucking wait for more of that. And I'm way more excited and jazzed about that than I am Cyberpunk. Not that I'm not excited about Cyberpunk, but Cyberpunk is a game that I'm like, well, that's gonna I'll probably Witcher 3 it and play 30 hours of it and really make no progress, but enjoy the hell out of it mm-hmm. and then move on to something else. Whereas like Red Dead, I'm gonna sit down and fucking be crazy about forever. AJ, a.k.a. Number 93, writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hello, Tim and Greg.
Hi.
Ah, I'm supposed to interrupt you when you say something. Oh. I'll cut to the chase. Favorite game of all time. Greg, you said it's Metal Gear Solid, Peace Walker. Tim on IGN, you said it was Super Smash Brothers Melee Brawl. Is that right? Super Smash Brothers? What's the M for?
I think there was an accidental one.
He just put it out. Well, SSBM Brawl.
SSBM is Melee, but he probably just like muscle memory.
Okay, so Brawl. Yeah. So my question is, has this changed in recent years? If not, do you think it ever will? And what would it take for a new game to become your number one? For me, my favorite game of all time was Ocarina of Time since the first time I put that cartridge in. But after a lot of pointless inner debate with myself last year, it was dethroned by Breath of the Wild. Thanks for all you do in building this amazing community, AJ. My game is still Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker, favorite game of all time.
My game is now Super Smash Brothers Wii U.
The
reason that it was Brawl was at the time I just loved all the things that it added, and it had some of my favorite characters to play, Ike in Zero Suit Samus.
Yeah.
And the memories and experiences I had playing Brawl, specifically at IGN and with all my friends.
Sure.
During the college years, I love that. Like I said in the video, like I understand Melee is a way more technically perfect game, and the tripping. There was a lot of problems that Brawl had,
yeah.
But taking all the hype of Brawl with the dojo of every night, things being announced, and then getting Sonic, them getting Snake, like there was so much in that game that was so special. The Subspace Emissary, seeing all the cutscenes, it was the perfect love letter to Nintendo. And I am such a sucker for that shit. And I feel like the Wii U version just gave me way more, like it being in HD. It's like it's perfect to me. Like I love that game. I don't play on a Melee competitive level. I feel like the roster is utterly insane, and I can't imagine it being any better. So I don't think that a game could be higher for me than Smash Bros. I just love it so much. And
so do
I
you think that'll be your game? He asked, you know, do you think it'll ever change?
No, I don't.
Do you think Wii U is the pinnacle? Or what?
Oh,
about,
no, no, no.
Just Smash.
There's a chance. The Smash Bros. Is just gotcha. So. I love that game so much, and okay. it gives me so much to love.
Yeah.
And they haven't truly let me down, with the exception of tripping.
Okay.
That's a big deal. But you know, besides that, like I've talked for so many shows about Yoshi's Island being one of my favorite games, Pokemon Gold and Silver being one of my favorite games, and as much as I love those, like the amount of hours that I put into Smash Brothers and the amount that I want to put in the future, it can't be beat.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't think about it in the context you're giving me, AJ, of like, you know, do you think it ever will? I'd imagine, yeah, something will come along and beat it. But you figure before that it was Metal Gear Solid. So it's similar to what you're talking about, right? Of something, this franchise, this story that I loved, and then seeing somebody not necessarily perfect it, I mean, like in terms of Peace Walker, but Peace Walker take it in a different direction, put it on this port. I mean, what I love about Peace Walker is that it was just so perfect for the PSP and like for where I was in my life of riding the train every day and like having other PSP players around me to go, like, you know, some of my favorite memories are me and Caleb and Mike Pereira going to Eddie Rickenbacker's after work and just getting beers and sitting there and playing at a bar this game. And I was like, I had those moments of like, this is amazing. I've never done this before. And why haven't I done this before? And it's just that thing of like, even being a PSP or portable gamer, there weren't people who wanted to play that the games I was playing or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And I,
when that I really, change that for sure.
When I think about it, you know, I mean, now if when I think about like actually using a portable in a way that changes everything or like is so different and cool, and why don't I do this all the time? It's Peace Walker and it's Freedom Wars. You know what I mean? When I was playing Freedom Wars with my ex-girlfriend and like when we went to Colombia and for a week we just had this like vacation and every morning we'd wake up and go out and get breakfast and then go to this coffee shop and just sit there and play Freedom Wars. And I was like, we are huge fucking dorks and this is awesome.
Yeah.
This is like so perfect that we're doing this. And now I get that with Monster Hunter. You get it with a million other things, mm-hmm. but I think you take it for granted in the way of like, oh, I'm at home on my couch playing this game with Kevin or Jen or, you know, just playing this game multiplayer. You don't think about that outside of the ordinary. Whereas Peace Walker and Freedom Wars were like, holy shit, like this is this portable system. I'm doing something different with and weird and playing in an awesome way. Yeah, and even Switch, I mean, like we do it at meet and greets where we'll play Mario Kart or something like that. And that's awesome. But I would love to, if Monster Hunter was on Switch, it'd be so cool to be.
It's coming. World won't come. But like,
Well, what's Monster Hunter XX?
I have no fucking idea, but okay. I
that's out apparently. Somebody was talking about yesterday.
Well, in Japan,
okay.
I've heard rumors that it's coming, going to be localized, and that there is going to be a new Monster Hunter that's on Switch.
Yeah,
coming out
smart
eventually.
Yeah. I mean, totally. I mean, Capcom's seeing the success, but even that, it would be awesome to have, like, you know, Kevin and I play right now, and you know, to like, all right, cool, let's knock off and go to a bar and let's do this.
Yeah.
And
stuff like that. Last thing I want to say about Smash Brothers Wii U is I feel like what the biggest issues that game has is the single player. It's really lacking. In classic mode, there is no real adventure mode or subspace emissary, and I think that's sad because I enjoyed it so much in the other ones. And the event modes and the missions that they had and stuff weren't nearly as creative and good as they were in specifically Melee, but also Brawl. But they made up for that for me in multiplayer, and the level of polish and love and care they put into things like having the Omega modes where every level could be Final Destination.
Yeah.
So it's not you playing the same level with the same music. Like, at least you get varied looks for the experience that a lot of us want from the game. And also 8-player Smash was awesome. That's a thing of dreams. That's a stupid thing of like, wouldn't it be crazy if there was more players? And then I'll never forget in that direct when they announced it, I was like, that's stupid in the best way. And it's fun to play that shit. So good job, guys.
I think the one thing that's interesting you say, and what would it take for a game to make it to your number one, AJ? I think it, based on what I've been talking about, right, and thinking about it, I think it's, first off, it's obviously gameplay, but then it's more than that, it's the experience of it, right? Like Metal Gear Solid was my favorite game forever because it was the game, like I said, boring Greg Miller story of like, this showed me what games could be and where they would go, and holy shit, this is better than a movie. And then Peace Walker, I loved the story, but it was the holy shit. I'm just recruiting. I'm doing the same missions over and over again to farm out resources, to do all these different things at Mother Base, blah, blah, blah. Like, there's moments in time that get stamped around. I think even with you, right, where you're talking about college and this and playing it, like, there's so much. It's more than a game. When a game transcends just being a video game and actually becomes way more, and like, I think you point at, like, and I know it's not a game for a lot of other people and they don't love it, but Pokemon Go, like, there's experiences I'll talk about in gaming for the rest of my life. And that's,
totally.
Those are definitely up there. Kevin Brown writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD just like you can and says, hey Greg and Tim, am I the only one worried about how little we've heard and seen about Days Gone since E3 last year? That game looks awesome, but the lack of updates and news about it has me worried. Shouldn't they be showing off this new exclusive IP and trying to get people excited even if it's months off? I know we'll get an update hopefully and a release date at E3 this year, but that seems kind of late, especially if they release by year's end. Maybe I'm jumping to conclusions here, but I already feel like it's destined to be swallowed up by Sony's other exclusives this year. What do you guys think? Thanks, Kevin.
I'm always a little shocked at people's reactions to Days Gone. I don't see it the same way you do, Kevin. I feel like if they announce it, whether or not it comes out the end of this year or early next year, like, when the marketing time comes to the game, it will be pushed.
Yeah.
We're seeing it with God of War now. And it will be Spider-Man eventually. Like, Days Gone's going to get its due. And I don't think that it's worrisome that we haven't heard about it. Like, that's how a lot of video games are. Not all games are Fallout 4.
Yeah. Days Gone is one of the games they didn't put on the 2018 thing when they were like, hey, if it had a date, it's coming the first half of the year. And I know, I think there's some interview out there where somebody said 2018. I don't think it's a 2018 game. And I think that when you look at the fact that it's God of War, it's Spider-Man, it's Detroit that they're pushing, I think that's their slate this year. And so that's why you're not hearing about Days Gone, because they don't want it to overstay its welcome, let alone it's not like Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man, as soon as it got announced, right, at E3, was immediately in PlayStation commercials and continues to this day. I was looking at news on GameSpot today, and everyone began with this stupid fucking job interview. They got to hire us to make commercials, because I don't even know, hey, how do you perform under pressure? And the guy like kind of grins, and they show him playing. It's just Spider-Man footage. And then it comes back, and they're like, do you think you can handle the pressure? And then it's like PlayStation. I'm like, what the fuck? Terrible. But like, they do, somebody running up, they're promoting it like it could be coming out tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, because it's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Days Gone, they don't need to do that. They don't want to do that. Run a couple ads during Walking Dead to like really solidify, mm-hmm. like, this is what this game is. I don't think they're promoting because I don't think it's coming this year, and I think it's far out, and I don't think you need to be worried about it. I think Sony's trying to play smart with their exclusives. Days Gone, similar to, like I was talking yesterday, Monster Hunter, Dying Light, Resident Evil 7. Days Gone could do really well if they release it February next year.
Yep.
Hey, here's this game that isn't The Last of Us. It is a little bit weird, but hey, we think it's great. Sony Bend's an incredibly talented studio. Let's put it out right here. You guys want something new? You want to take a chance? Here's a game to take a chance on.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what you'll see. Robert writes in and says, Greg, I like to listen to podcasts when I play my games. It's probably the best kind of multitasking. As a console player, however, my options are to mute the game in favor of the podcast or try to listen to one through the TV and the other through the headphones. Is there any chance of getting Kind of Funny Games Daily and other shows on Spotify? Using that I can play them through my PS4 and only have to turn the game music to listen comfortably. Turn off the game music.
I wish. The problem is there's Spotify doesn't just accept any podcast. They need to invite you to be on their system. And on top of that, you have to be using specific podcast hosts. We do not use those podcast hosts. And it's not, we can't just switch over. Like yeah. there's too much back end stuff that goes into all of it. I imagine at some point they're going to change that. And there's been rumors, like we talked about recently, of Spotify buying SoundCloud, which is where we host our stuff. And that could be fantastic. And that hopefully would fix the problem.
Yeah.
There's a couple workarounds we were talking about.
Andrew Renee was telling us about some different things. Yeah.
But I don't know the feasibility of that and if it actually would work. This is one of those things where I hate it and it's stupid and I just want this to work.
We know it. We're looking into it. But yeah, it's right now.
It would be huge to be on Spotify.
Yeah.
And it sucks that there's so many dumb hoops we have to jump through. I mean, Rooster Teeth podcasts aren't even on it.
Yeah.
And if they're not on it, that's
yeah, struggle for
us.
It's
going to be a lot harder for us to get on.
However, this is a goofy one. I was talking about this. Over on the subreddit, kind of funny, r/ kind of funny. Somebody put up a thing yesterday, last night, about, hey, I noticed this about Patreon. I want everybody to know. And it's the fact that if you do the RSS feed or something like that, you can download the podcast to your phone early and get them in a podcast. I don't understand it.
What he was saying is that there's the, when you get our early audio versions of the podcast.
So for Patreon, GOG or Gamescast,
on kind of Patreon Kind of Funny or Patreon Kind of Funny Games, you get an RSS feed that you can then load into whatever podcast app you use. So Apple Podcasts is a very popular one. Although if you're using that, you should stop because it's horrible and use Pocket Cast because it's great. Yeah, you can just load up the RSS feed and then it's there. So you can use whatever you're comfortable with. It's not some Patreon proprietary bullshit.
Sure. I just wanted to shout it out.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of people in the comments were like, holy shit, really? Thanks for telling me, blah, blah, blah. I was like, I chimed in on the thread thanking them for doing that. You should advertise it. So I'm advertising it here. But also the fact that, keep in mind, we make it and we put it out there. And like somebody was talking about how the intros were louder than they should be or something. And I saw that on subreddit too. The use case of you with headphones doing something, you playing a game, you having a struggle is something we don't get into, right? Yeah. Like you're the end user. You go through your own.
You know the experience.
You go through your own rigmarole of getting the content in a way I never will. So whenever you have a hurdle, whenever there's a problem, please let us know.
Or if there's a request, a success. Or a thing that you would like. You'd be like, hey, is it possible to get it on Spotify? Because I'd love it there. Like, I'd love to hear that stuff. Like, anywhere we can get our content that you guys want to listen to it or watch it, I want to be there.
Yeah, 100%.
So let us know.
Yeah, it's an ongoing discussion with you, the best friends. For now, let's squad up. This is where one of you writes in with your name, platform of choice, username, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together as one big awesome community. Today, Holly Moore needs help. Holly's playing on PlayStation 4. Her PSN name is Way to Never. So just WayToNever, NEVER. Holly says, I'm looking for help in Monster Hunter. I'm very shy with chatting online, but I feel that the best friends would be understanding of that and help me get over my anxiety. Thanks for all you do, kind of funny. Much love. Way to never. Everyone on the PSN playing Monster Hunter this weekend, please go friend Way to Never. Invite her to your squad. Kill some stuff. Get some cool gear. I can't wait to go home and play. We got to do these party modes, but I really hope all the Xboxes explode and we get to just play Monster Hunter. Tim?
Yes.
We asked people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to write in to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong to tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe. What did we screw up today?
Rat MVP says, posting a You're Wrong from the Michael Huber KFGD.
It's too late.
When going over the slew of Switch titles that came out on Thursday, Greg said Quest of Dungeons came out today. Only the demo was released today, and the actual game has been out on Switch for several months.
Cool. Thank you.
It's a great game if anyone's a Binding of Isaac fan.
Island, I am stuck on this island. So it's just in my head nonstop, this Moana. Just Moana over.
Calls me. Lord of Pwn says that F-E is pronounced as Fia. Enjoy the weekend, everyone.
Fucking get it. Spell your name normal if you want me. You know what I mean? F-E. Fae. Fee. Fea.
Fia. Fia. Fum.
No.
Nick's here.
Talking about funny names in chat.
No.
We are now.
What happened?
What?
What is Nick doing? Why is this happening on Kind of Funny Games?
His name is spelled Lion, Lions Hearted, but I read it as Lion Sharded, and I giggled.
That was good. That was worth it. That was worth it. Thanks, bud.
And then last one, Kebab says, to the one having trouble listening to the podcast while gaming, you can use the USB Media Player app on the PS4 to listen to music while you game. You can access the media controls via the quick menu, allowing you to adjust volume and other features from within the game. It isn't perfect, but it's a way to make it work. And certain games even automatically mute the in-game music automatically.
Good one, Kebabs. Thank you very much. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, watch live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Listen on podcast services around the globe. Consider supporting us on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where the PlayStation VR show and the Michael Huber Gamescast are up and early and for you. You could also, of course, maybe give us that Twitch Prime subscription. If you have Amazon Prime, you have Twitch Prime. Every 30 days, you have to give away a free subscription or Amazon sits on your money. So I'm talking to you guy right now in your SUV who has Amazon Prime but doesn't watch Twitch and has never given away the subscription. Please come give it to us. Please, Tony. I see you out there. Please, Tony. Tony! Remember, Monday, we are introducing a brand new Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host, a new Kind of Funny Games Cast host. It'll be revealed right here. twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames at noon Pacific time ish. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you. Kill some monsters.
Kill them monsters.